Welcome to Desert Digest, the dining podcast of Phoenix Magazine. This week, a very exciting guest, Chip Mulala, the Minister of Craft Beer at Huss Brewing. We'll talk to him about what that means, along with news and notes and everything going on in Valley Dining this week here on Desert Digest. Here we go, another podcast, Phoenix Magazine's Desert Digest. Leah, we've never actually had an unwanted visitor in one of these. I was just thinking in the early days when everyone started Zooming, because we're doing this via Zoom, I have to admit. You know, you get these, like, people would run around and just, you know, they were sort of like, you know, pirates. They come and, like, jump into your Zoom meeting and, like, mess things up, curse, use profanity, and then run away.
Right, like a Zoom crasher.
Right, exactly. Luckily, we've never had one of those. Our guest today has actually been invited here. It's Chip Mulala from Huss Brewing.
Hello. How are you doing, Chip? How are you doing this morning?
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Chip has
Thank you. I promised to not curse and run away.
There you go.
Anything inappropriate right. On your Zoom and Zoom bomb you.
Flash us, whatever they do. I mean, I get it. I was 17 once.
It's exactly.
Incredibly funny to crash a board meeting and, you know, do whatever. Chip, you had the not grandiose at all sounding title of Minister of Craft Beer.
The Minister of Craft Beer. I wanted to add in His Excellency at the end, but they thought that was too much.
Yeah, right.
So I just stuck with Minister of Craft Beer, and that is where I am. Like I say, I like saving souls one pint at a time.
If you were in our industry, you put Senior Executive Minister of Craft Beer.
There you go, exactly.
And we'll talk about what that means, Chip, yep. Because people are familiar with Huss Brewing. It's one of the great success stories of Valley Brewing here in the Valley, in Phoenix. And we're also going to talk about everything else that's going on in Valley Dining. In fact, we have our news and notes section at the top of the podcast we call Tip of the Tongue. Let's jump right in. This week is Arizona Restaurant Week from September 17th through 26th. That's a special time, and I'm glad they're doing it. You know, I think they did it last year, too. We had Susie yes. Tim, who helped organize it on the podcast. But this year, I think, is going to be more. There'll be a lot more energy out there and enthusiasm for it because people are actually dining in right now. Do you have favorites out there, that you've heard about? I know that Lons at the Hermosa is doing it. That's always a good experience. $55. If you go, you get, you know, a selection of dishes. They got, corn tortellini, delicious. A pork ossobuco, yummy, yummy. Yeah. Peanut butter pie.
Oh, yum.
For ours, I have a personal favorite, which is Huss Brewing Company.
You guys are doing it.
Yeah, so actually last year was the first year, as you said. This year in our Uptown Phoenix location, we decided to see how we could wrap Arizona Restaurant Weekend with our beers. So this time of year is always Oktoberfest.
Right.
So we actually have our award-winning Oktoberfest, and we create a specific Oktoberfest-style menu. So we call it Arizona Restaurant Week Oktoberfest-style.
That's
so
fun.
It's a three-course menu.
Is there a wiener? There's got to be, like, sausage involved, yeah?
There's sausage involved, of course. So we start with a sausage and cheese board, some cool German cheeses, cornichons, and the like. We pair it with a different beer. We're doing a rouladen as the main entree, which is, you know, pounded super thin with a little bit of mustard and pickle and cornichon, and we got a nice potato cake with that. And
is it kind of a pinwheel?
It is, exactly. Yep,
a pinwheel.
So it's pounded thin and then braised and then sliced beautifully. Mm. And then we have a cherry strudel that we're doing with our brand new beer, which is our Papago Cherry Blossom.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Released. Yeah, so we figured it was a really cool way to get our beers involved and Restaurant Week involved. So I am kind of biased saying that I'm going to go with the Huss Brewing Company's menu, but the long.
I mean, you're wearing a Husk hat and a Husk shirt right now. I think you have a right to be biased.
I have a right to be biased. Okay, cool. What about Leah's? What's yours? Do you have any cool restaurants out there that are standing out for you?
I write a weekly foodie news blog, and there's a new restaurant on the scene called Cobra Kitchen and Cocktails, and it's at the Canopy Old Town Scottsdale Hilton, and it's their first restaurant week, so it's exciting for them. Yeah, they have a lot of fun options. I love a short rib. That's one of their options. Also a three cheese annulotti. Who doesn't love pasta? So I'm excited for them to join the ranks, but so many great ones. I mean, I love Clever Koi. They're always great. I don't know if Crujiente is participating, but they're a favorite of mine.
Oh, yeah. Those tacos at Crujiente
they are wonderful. Arizona Restaurant Week has a website. It is, strangely enough, ArizonaRestaurantWeek.com. you can go online and find all the restaurants. Usually there's like over 100. Am I just being, you know?
No, I feel up.
150 actually this year. Yeah. It's over 150 this year.
150. Well, you know, Chip. Yep. Thank you. So that's a nice selection. I imagine anywhere you live in the Valley, there's something happening. I can say that without, you know, being hyperbolic. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
You know, one more thing, Craig, on that, what's really cool is like you were saying, this, you can go super fancy, you know, to like these really high end places that are
like Lawns.
Really like Lawns and do that. And then you can get your really cool little mom and shop, the new places. I've always liked Restaurant Weeks because it was a cool way to kind of showcase what some of these places have to offer.
Big spread, you know?
And that's what's fun for me. So whether people can't afford very high-end places and you can get in a little bit of a cheaper price for a three-course menu sample. Or, like you said, I love supporting smaller independent people, especially with everything that everybody's gone through over the last year. I dig this. I love this week.
And that is the concept. You go, it's a chance to try a few things, have a multi-course meal for less than it would be otherwise because the restaurants are creating these dishes in volume. So it works for everybody. By the way, how much was the deal at Hus that you mentioned with the roulade?
So we're doing $55 for a couple and $33 for a single.
Does that include the beer too?
The beer actually works out just a couple of bucks more for each, whether it's a couple or a single. And then the beer would be coursed out with everybody. So
I was going to ask you, like, you know, there is a Oktoberfest style beer, a traditional one. Is it a lager? Is it slightly more of an ABV than a typical lager? Like, what is that?
It is. So it's a lager. It's actually, the style is called a Märzen. So basically it's an amber lager.
Right.
We're super proud of ours because, again, like, it's, now you're going to just make me be bragging all day long today on this podcast.
Hey, go
but
for it.
He's like, carry on. I will. we actually were really proud. The last 2 years, we've actually won a national gold medal for our Oktoberfest lager at the U.S. Open Beer Championships. And we won a silver medal at the Great American Beer Festival the year prior. So
I heard Naomi Osaka won that last year, the U.S. Open.
Was that?
Naomi Osaka won the U.S. Open, didn't she?
She did, actually, yeah. She didn't withdraw from that one either.
That's her Marzen. No. That's great. So it's a little richer. It's a little more high ABV. And that's kind of what it's all about. And you guys do a great one. And it's
beautiful malt. Yeah, beautiful malty backgrounds and really nicely balanced. And again, I guess the cool thing about it is not only being able to pair it with such great food, but we have it available at, if you want to take it home, you can go pick up a 6-pack at Fry's or, you know, or Whole Foods or wherever you shop.
And you guys are pretty ubiquitous at this point. You can find us in a lot of places.
You know, it's a funny thing that we always wanted to do that. And then it's like almost, we're okay with that. You know, sometimes we don't maybe we don't have our cool card kit anymore because we are available in too many places.
I was going to talk to you about this later, but as long as you continue barrel aging stuff and doing the, you know, weird 12% deals, that's all I really care about.
Exactly.
You know? So you got it.
The thing. At our tap, you're always going to find something crazy and cool. We have that little 7-barrel small batch system that the guys in the back are always just doing something insane. We're making a killer fruited sour beer next week that they're going to put, and we'll put some in barrels, have some available. Those are always going to be able to our tap rooms. So we're always going to have the small. We promised that to Jeff. Basically said, listen, I don't mind making tens of thousands of gallons of Orange Blossom and Scottsdale Blonde for everybody out there.
Right.
You got to let me and the guys be able to brew a Dortmunder or brew a small little sour barrel-aged beer every now and then.
Right. Got to have my skunk works still.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Before I forget, other news happening this week in Valley Dining, a lot of openings. Ingo's opened a downtown location. I'm not sure how fresh this news is, but I thought it was kind of cool. I always love Ingo's. On there, you know, is it Campbell? Right there on Campbell and what is it, 28th, 32nd, across the street from LGO, Le Grand Orange, same owners, in that cool little building they built. I think Al Beadle designed it, or Will Bruder. And, you know, just a cool sandwich shop, burger shop, free chocolate chip cookies. I mean, I was won over from the beginning. Anyway, they have a downtown location, which is great. I'm talking downtown, downtown, not Roro. Roro's had a great, Roosevelt Row's had a great, you know, dining scene for a while. But you're having more restaurants now come into that serious downtown area near the sports arenas, you know, right across the street from Chase Field and whatever they're calling the basketball arena these days. I'm having trouble keeping up.
We just had a story on that actually in the latest issue. Everybody,
right.
Up. Footprint Arena, yes.
Footprint Arena now, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because yeah, you had Paula open up down there. That, you know, wonderful place from Claudio Urcioli. It's a, you know, wood-fired seafood restaurant. He had one up on 24th Street and McDowell. But this is a more, you know, deeper menu, more refined dining experience, which is unusual for that, for, you know, that part of downtown. Which, you know, that traditionally it's kind of cleared out. You know, after sporting events, you have a lot of people down there. Then, you know, when there's not a sporting event going on, it tend to be a bit of a ghost town. I think that's changing. And hopefully the, you know, the there's enough people down there to support all these new cool restaurants opening. So anyway, Ingo's downtown. Taco Boys opened a Tempe location. Taco Boys, another kind of Roosevelt Row restaurant that did really well. You know, unpretentious kind of low key taco joint. Great. Carne Asada, they have El Pastor. They're opening a Tempe location. People are excited about that. There is a also a new bottle shop called Vanilla Gorilla opening up on the 101 area, North Scottsdale, owned by the guy who owns Hush Public House, Dom Ruggiero. You're nodding, Chip. You know, are you familiar?
Big fan.
Yeah,
big
right.
Big fan of Dom and his wife Holly. They both are running the show up there, and Vanilla Gorilla is going to be great there. You know, one of the things I was going to mention when you were talking about Paula earlier was. Yeah. One of my great joys, again, is even though we've grown larger here, we're so small when it's compared to some of the gigantic companies and breweries out there.
Right.
But my favorite part of this is still, like, the fact that we have our Arizona Light at Paula is just, it makes me happy that anytime these small independent places, you know, we normally have our, you know, one of our Scottsdale Blondes or stuff like that at Dom's Place, who makes one of the best burgers in the world.
Yeah.
So being able to hang out with these guys and have some of our small batch releases and some of our, even our beers like Arizona Light or Scottsdale Blonde available, it makes me proud that, number one, they still want to hang out with us, which is great.
Right.
But number two, I think it's just because we're staying true to who we are at the same time. Like you said, yes, we're bigger, but we still make sure we stick to our small town roots and our small people roots.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a Phoenix brewery. There's no question. It is great to see partnerships between the great, you know, independently owned chef driven restaurants and the brewers. So yeah, you know it. So yeah, that's opening up in it's a bottle shop / beer bar. I think, I guess, tap room you'd call it. And right next
door. Cool name and a cool logo, by the way, if you've seen it, Vanilla Gorilla.
Yeah. You know, is that his nickname, Dom? Is that Dom's
nickname? Yeah, he is a big old Vanilla Gorilla.
See, I have a big blonde buddy I grew up with who I call Vanilla Gorilla. So yeah, I think it's out there. It's open next to his restaurant, which is Hush Public House. You mentioned great burgers, you know, excellent. I guess you call it gastropub.
Gastropub. Yeah. Didn't they win best new restaurant last year?
It was one of ours. Valley? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you guys named them best new, or at least runner up one or somewhere in there.
Yeah. Our dining critic, Nikki Buchanan, really liked it. And yeah, it's good to see them, you know, obviously like every other business, weather the pandemic. And then, you know, a bunch of other news things opening, but one that was kind of caught my eye. There's a cocktail bar, not locally owned, called Ghost Donkey, which is made a name for itself in New York. It was like a, you know, won an award. That location is still closed, I gather. Also it opened in Vegas at the Cosmopolitan, which programs a lot of cool stuff. If you've ever been to the Cosmopolitan Resort, good restaurants, sure, great bars. And they're opening in Roosevelt Row. Apparently there was another kind of out of towner cocktail bar that was going to go in there. Punch Bowl, exactly, with a bowling alley.
Yeah, Punch Bowl Social. It was a really cool concept out of Denver. We were actually very excited. We were going to be partnering with them. I met with them. Everything was going to be really killer. And then everything hit, and ended up having to shelve a bunch of, I mean, they were literally weeks away. Everything was there. They were talking ready to about go it. Open, and now they've had to re-gut it and re-split. So Ghost Donkey, and I think something else is going in there too.
Yeah, a couple other concepts. I think one of them was a bowling alley. I guess once you build a bowling alley, it's kind of hard to
pull it out. That.
Yeah, what else are you going to turn that into? I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, this is a really interesting looking bar with tables and rows and
seating system.
Exactly. And I, you know, it sounds great, although I'm always a little skeptical when you get these carpetbagger restaurants, high concept things coming into town.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've got a lot of, not that, you know, you can't have more cocktail bars. You can always have more, but it's going to take a lot to get, you know, if I'm going out and I've only got, you know, a little time and a little money, why wouldn't I go to Undertow or Bitter and Twisted?
Exactly. We've got our own homegrown ones that are nationally recognized already. Right. So it's like, we don't need to really be importing concepts from New York or Vegas or LA when we've got our own ones here that compete with those just as much. So I always worry, like you said, about the carpet bagging of it, is do they come down here and try and pretend that they are local and cool and all of that?
Yeah.
Or do they lean in and at least being authentic and say, actually, you know, we are just another place from New York. But, you know, but then again, Merc Bar, well, that's a state and true here. That was inspired by a New York place, but obviously, you know, the guys are there. They're as local as they can get now, right?
Right. That's it. I think that's the key. I mean, they almost like relocated out here.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and the other one that I, you know, like the Flint up at the Biltmore.
Yeah.
Awesome restaurant.
Yeah.
Not technically local because the, you know, the restaurant group had a big success out in LA, but they, you know, it's a new concept. It was an original concept. They kind of, you know, they're kind of, they sort of quasi relocated out here. I mean, you know, it felt like it, the ideas and stuff were kind of generated locally. I had to give them a mulligan on that one, you know, but
yeah, and I agree with you. You know, and when Tim was running the place over there, and he was, you know, I remember him coming out and taking a tour of the brewery. He literally, like you just said, wanted to be local, even though they have this connection to LA. He was literally saying, "We're starting this thing here.
Right.
I want local beers. I want like source anything we can from the local farmers from McClendon and get produce and do chef driven things and really make it feel like it was an Arizona concept." And I agree. I definitely mulligan. He gets two mulligans from me. So it was great. I love
it. You mentioned Tim. Is he the owner? What's his last name?
Tim was Tim Haas, Hass. He's actually he was the general manager. He just left there. Interestingly enough, he's actually going to be starting a new brew pub, gastro pub, kind of a high-end one in Chandler. I probably can't talk about it yet, but you will definitely be hearing about it.
Thanks for the scoop, Chip.
Yeah, Tim Haas, Hass. And when you ask him, make sure you make a note to ask him where his last name is from.
Okay.
Shocked. Yeah, you'll be shocked to your shoes.
Hass. I mean, I would guess somewhere in Western Europe.
No, Haas.
Haas.
Haas. Oh, two A's.
Like Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's, I would say it's got to be Dutch or Danish. No?
I don't want to spoil it. I'm not sure if I can spoil it. You probably seen it if you think about it at your grocery store.
Gotcha. Is it Haagen-Dazs?
No, Haagen-Dazs. No.
Okay.
But his interesting thing about Haagen-Dazs, I just listened to a podcast the other day, was completely made up name by the husband and wife. You know that, right, Leah?
I read it.
They're from the Bronx, and they were just trying to come up with something that sounded fancy and European.
They didn't want to call it Leibowitz ice cream. They had to call it Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah, they were looking. He was looking at a box of Duncan Hines cake mix, and he's like, "What can we come up with two words that sound funny?" And the reason that you know it's all fake is that you know the umlaut, those two dots.
Yeah.
They never go over an A.
Right. Oh,
he added those on there just to make it sound cool.
Right.
German.
I've done that with headlines just to make them funnier looking.
Exactly. Like, make it cool. You're exotic and European.
Faux German.
And you can charge five times as much and everybody buys.
There you go. The umlauts allow you to charge more.
Yeah.
That's funny. I will check that out. I love that they're opening new stuff in the East Valley, which, you know, it's come a long ways in terms of food and beverage, obviously. In fact, craft beer wise, it might arguably have just as much or more energy than downtown Phoenix, you know, present company excluded. But But yeah, for dining, it's good to see new places open there. And then
impressive. Yeah. And as an East Valley resident, I live down in Chandler. I've been down in Chandler for about the last 14, 15 years.
Right.
And it's completely changed around. And, you know, so many cool places, La Ristra downtown and, you know, the breweries, the steakhouses, you know, all of it. So awesome. Yeah. It's great stuff.
One last bit. This news and notes has gone on for a long time.
Yeah, sorry. I can't.
No, it's not you. Just so much happened. And my last piece, while I got Restaurant Progress, TJ Culp's restaurant on 7th Avenue. They're opening a new restaurant on Roosevelt Row. Hate to, you know, keep strumming that chord, but there's a, you know, it's interesting because they're not that far from Row already. I mean, 7th Ave and, you know, right around Indian School is only 2 miles north, but they're going to occupy that historic house next to the Pemberton. If you don't know what the Pemberton is, it's that kind of outdoor confederacy of places to drink and places to eat. And, you know, there might be a dance hall there by now. I don't know. But they're going to move into that historical home right next door. So that's cool. Very interesting. And that Restaurant Progress has been a favorite of, you know, foodies in the Valley for the last 2 or 3 years. So,
yeah, it is. That's pretty cool that they're doing that. We're proud of them.
Yeah. Well, let's move on now. Where'd you get your start? How long you been in the Valley, Chip?
I've been in the Valley about 15 years right now. I was with Santan Brewing Company, helped start with them. I think I was employee number 4 when it comes to executives and managers and the like. And
Anthony connected those people.
Yeah, Anthony and everybody there. So I was working there, knew you back then, obviously, and with that for about 8 years, and then joined up with Huss 6 years ago.
You brewer and, by trade?
No, not a brewer. I've never been a brewer. So I've actually always been, I'm the big mouth, you know, so
marketing.
I do all the marketing, sales. Right now I'm director of operations. So really kind of overseeing everything and just kind of moving the business forward. It started out in the restaurant side of things. I was a restaurant manager. We had a couple of restaurants back in the early mid 2000s, like 2004, 56 East Bar and Kitchen and 98 South down in Chandler.
Right.
I was a part of those companies. Got in the beer business and kind of moved away from the restaurant business now with Huss as we're opening up these tap room and kitchens, now kind of moving back into that side of things as we're opening up our new restaurant coming up in a few months here in downtown, as you said, downtown Phoenix, in the actual downtown. We're going to be a part of the convention center. So,
cool. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. So you guys have the Uptown. It's the your original, well, not the original, but your, you know, your tap room and restaurant that people know best.
Yeah, exactly.
And you also
have our first place.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, first place technically. I remember when Huss used to have that little warehouse out in the, was it Guadalupe?
I'm sitting here right now.
Oh, there's where you are. Okay. You still have it.
We still have this, but I shouldn't say our first restaurant place.
Right.
Was at Camelback and Central.
So you still have that cool warehouse space in Tempe.
I'm sitting here right now. This is where it all happens.
But
you'll make all the beer here and everything here. And my offices are all here.
Right. Yeah, definitely. The real estate down there is a little, you can expand and stretch out a little more than you can at Uptown Phoenix near the Windsor.
Yeah.
But you have that flagship Windsor location that people probably know about. And then you're opening one at the convention center.
Yeah, this one's a really cool concept. So we were actually, and do I got couple of minutes to talk about this?
Sure.
Yeah. So what was really cool about it is that the project came about because a lot of people don't realize the City of Phoenix owns the convention center.
Right.
And when they were going for the rebids of the to the people that run it, like the Aramarks of the world and people like that, the City of Phoenix and the mayor's office said they wanted a brewery as part of this to kind of connect to the community and keep downtown growing.
And just make the convention center interesting, right?
Exactly. Make it a little bit more
scream fun.
Land with a, you know, a mall food court, which is what it was all about.
Right.
And so long story story short, they worked with local first, Kimber Lanning, who you know well, and basically said, hey, we've got about 8 breweries that we all kind of all bid on it, looked at it, figure out what we would bring to the table. And we ended up being the ones that that decided we had the best partnership with them. COVID happens and we had to kind of scrap everything and put everything on hold.
Right.
We decided to come back and tweak the plan a little bit. So initially it was just going to be a restaurant and, you know, and brew pub and sort of like that.
Right.
We decided instead to kind of tweak it now. And instead of having these 2 floors, we're actually going to have a to-go counter now. So we're actually having a full blown, that's the way the kind of the world has changed a little bit with just food delivery and to go. So we're actually having a dedicated to go counter that's a walk up. You can do that, or you can, so if you're on the go, going to a show, going to a game, going to a concert,
grab and go
like that, you can do that, or you can actually sit down and relax and hang out in the brewery kind of like where you used to.
Will it be inside the patio? Will it be inside the convention center?
Outside. So it's on Monroe, right in front of the Herberger Theater. So if you think that. So you got the whole outside now, which is normally you would just drive by and not even think that anything was there. Now it's really, it's really big on there.
Awesome. So you, that's not quite as far south as Washington, where we were talking about before, but it's still pretty downtown-y.
That, yeah, you know, it's two block walk.
Awesome. So that's great to see you guys, you know, doing that and being part of that.
Yeah,
Matt, our producer Matt wanted us to mention that you have a collaboration with Simple Machine coming out today.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of what you'd said earlier, you know, about making sure we got to keep our street cred card, so that people still keep making sure that we've got that.
Big, so we love big corporate Husk Brewing with their brand ambassadors,
corporate sellouts. You know, but no, all kidding aside, we love Marshall and the guys over at Simple Machine, you know, and so Matt Johnson, our head brewer, headed up there with them.
Hey, your head brewer's named Matt Johnson?
You will not believe the confusion it caused when
Matt Johnson. our head producer brewer's named Matt Johnson. Here's the show.
It was like a who's on first situation when we first met. I'm like, yeah, Matt Johnson. I know I'm talking to Matt Johnson. But Matt, where are you at? I can't find you. Why would you be able to find me?
Craig, I've gotten a few phone calls mistaking me for the other Matt Johnson. And
really?
Yeah.
Because Matt writes about beer for our blogs a lot, so I can just see how that's all going to create these lovely...
It creates so much.
Yeah, lovely Abbott and Costello confusion moments, so that's funny.
But yeah, so they're doing a Tuxedo Hazy IPA. This is the second in a series. Simple Machine is the second in a series of collaborations we've done with them. We're doing that. We got a couple of things. If you can see behind me there, you might see a tap handle that says 1-800-273-82755. Mm-hmm. That is our suicide awareness brewing that Oso Brewing started a project. And that's pretty much got, I think, around 30 breweries locally that are participating in it, trying to bring awareness to suicide awareness. And we're all going to be donating proceeds this month to it. So, you know, we like to really keep our foot and feet in the community when it comes to that. I think it's just highly important. We're a social beverage. We're a social company. People come to hang out with us, and we have to be actively involved in the community and in events and festivals and schools and sponsoring peoples and, you know, ETAs.
Well, talk to me about stuff. Talk to me about festivals. I love seeing Hus at festivals. It's where I had one of your barrel aged beers, and you know, it's like, here you can have a little now, and then in 6 months you can have more. It's like, well, that's a good way to woo me,
because that's what I gotta get. That's the only way I can get you back.
A little taste here and there. Are there any coming up that you're going to be involved in? Because they haven't done, like, for instance, the Strong Beer Festival didn't happen last year. Will it happen this year, by your understanding?
Yes, it will. So the plan right now is it's going to be happening the week of February 4th, right before the Super Bowl.
Great.
But we actually do have a pretty big slate of festivals for this fall coming up. One of them is going to be called Smoked, which I believe is already sold out. It's over at Ocotillo. Smaller venue with Diana, who AZ Foodie, you guys all know.
Sure.
She's doing that one. A lot of local kind of like those cool chefs and the likes are going to be at that one. We've got the Barrel Aged Festival at Salt River Fields in November, which I believe was the last time you had like some of our barrel aged stuff.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. Awesome. We're actually also, go ahead.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So with that, we've got that one actually is where we're going to be releasing one of our new beverages. Do you guys know what ranch water is?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So she knows. Leah, tell us what ranch water is.
It's a Texas thing, right? It's like a really like thirst quenching kind of citrusy tequila drink. It's like a cousin of a Paloma, I would say.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you talk about scooping on podcast scoops. I'll be the first to show you guys that we are actually launching an Arizona version.
Yeah.
And I know your listeners can't see that, but it's called Arizona Ranch Water.
Fun.
And it's basically, it's an agave hard seltzer. So it basically takes the cocktail of a ranch water, which traditionally was made with tequila, fresh lime, and Topo Chico. So it gets super bubbly and delicious and refreshing.
Is there any sweetener? Is there a sweetener?
Yeah, and agave. Yes.
Agave,
we're actually using real agave, real raw blue agave in this one. We've got a tangerine version and a lime version. It's going to be in cans. So it's our debut in this world. You know, everybody was asking us for years and years, you're going to get in the seltzer game? And I was like, why are we just going to do another, you know, Truly or White Claw, which are, they're all great for what they are.
Right.
But we weren't just going to copy that. But when we started really checking out the ranch water thing and how big it was in Texas and just the history behind it, it started saying, this is exactly what we do in Arizona.
Yeah,
we drink margaritas and Palomas and it's hot as hell. And
right.
We want something that's super thirst quenching. So why don't we make an Arizona version of it? So we're calling it Arizona Ranch Water. And we're really pumped about it. That's going to be releasing next month.
Is that your first non-beer canned beverage? Or you know, 100%. Your first, like you mentioned, White Claw, it's become quite trendy to have these. They're not like malt beverages. They're actual...
Seltzers.
You know, distilled spirit things.
Spirits in their thing. But we don't make ours with tequila. We actually create the, using the agave and yeast and corn sugar, we actually make the, like you said, the spirit base. And then put the Topo Chico, which is triple filtered water that we highly carbonate. So it's extra carbonated. So you can actually feel the can is super tight because it's going to be nice and really bubbly and effervescent. And it's still real tangerines.
It's still a real limes. Still a brewed beverage. You don't have a still that you have to actually make.
Exactly.
That's cool.
100%. So, but you're right in the fact of what you were saying, Craig, that, you know, it's, it is our first non-beer, if you will.
Yeah.
And we're pumped up about it. It's going to be out and about and you'll be able to find it places. And we're going to try and introduce it at festivals, which is how we've always kind of, this is how we made ourselves, is start with the people we are because we're a little bit bigger now, able to get it onto some store shelves.
Yeah.
So people can find it out that way and kind of grow it organically.
Are you going to do the Oktoberfest event in Wickenburg?
I am. Really excited about that one. I was going to say that was the last. That's, you guys know our Arizona Craft Brewers Guild. So Rob and everybody there, we're excited to do that one. It's funny because they're like, why are you going to Wickenburg? And it was like, well, you know, what's cool about Wickenburg
is it, Tempe it, canceled theirs.
Exactly. It's so crazy. But it's just it's not that far. People think it's like almost in Vegas. It's not.
Oh, right. No.
You know, it's like, why am I driving all the way out there? And I'm like, it's not that far.
We actually kind of consider it cool. Peripheral Valley, you know? It's the Valley Periphery. It's, you know, it's quasi Valley.
And believe me, probably in 30 or 40 years from now, it's going to be just like Chandler or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just another summer.
Well, they're, you know, they're building out in like Tonopah. They're probably put that weird desert city that they, the billionaires.
Oh, I saw that.
I mean, I bet that winds up in Tonopah.
That always concerns me. Leah, I don't know about you, but that always concerns me. It's like, what kind of cult are we going to be building out there?
Yeah. It's a cult of sustainability.
Sustainability.
Come on now.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, on that note, let's that's kind of a trend, Leah. Leah every week picks out a thread, like pulls on it a little bit, a national food trend, and we play around with it. What do you got for us, Leah?
Yeah, so this week I noticed the return of the themed bar and themed restaurant, and it was inspired by an article I read about this Montreal noodle bar that is inspired by Blade Runner, the movie.
Yeah.
So you can go to a ramen shop, it's all sci-fi, cyberpunky, and it just got me thinking about the themed places here in the Valley, like which ones have been successful, like if you think of Undertow, Century Grand, right. Which ones have not been successful?
Bobby lately. McGee's was the original. It started here, right?
Right, right. Or like Camp Social, that was one that kind of came and went, and then the Alice in Wonderland themed one. So what makes it a hit and stay, and what makes it not work, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's good. What about Rainforest Cafe? They're still
around. My childhood favorite.
Yeah. Man, that is a, I mean, it's like just a perfect, you know, analogy or whatever for the 90s or the early
90s. It's unbelievable. It really is like going, I was just over there. I think we were going to a movie or something at Arizona Mills, and I was walking by and I'm like, how can this still be here?
Right.
And you got the monkeys.
It's
and
still there.
The sounds, and it's just like, amazing. Like you said, it's like 100% the 90s. And it's like, wow.
Like an aging carnival ride, you know, like, like, you know, out of date, broken animatronic people. That's funny. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I was going to just say to Leah, to your point, I loved the idea of Camp Social. Okay. I thought it was so cool. And it just went away. I guess people weren't. Do you guys think it, people just didn't get it?
I went. I think it was easy to get. I don't know if the execution was
okay.
You know, perfect. And there was just a lot happening on 7th Street when it opened.
That's true.
You know, that it might have been just a victim of saturation. Heavenly Elf.
Everybody wanted to be on 7th Street. It's like, you know, there's other streets in Phoenix.
There are other goddamn streets in this town. You have to open it. It became like this, you know, prestige thing. Oh, yeah, I'm opening a place on 7th Street.
7th Street.
7th Street.
Okay. Well, sooner or later, this
what
is
about?
And think of all of the places that are now gone.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
all
I know.
Open there, you know, that were all Stock and Stables of the world and all those. And all of them, bye-bye, so.
I know. There are places filling in. That'd be an interesting article just to kind of, you know, review 7th Street. Because a lot of, I mean, I know something is taking over the Stock and Stable location. Do you offhand know what it is? I remember reading.
Leah knows, I think.
Yeah, it's Chris Collins' new place. So
right.
It's going to be a true story thing. So that'll be exciting. He does
Chris Collins of Macintosh and Collins Craft Kitchen. What's a place he has in Scottsdale?
Grassroots.
Right.
I don't know the name of this one. Good. Do you, Chip? Do you know the name
of this one? I don't know off the top of my head, but, you know, I was definitely very happy for him. He's a great partner of ours locally. Again, a small business guy that's doing his thing, and he supports us. We support him. He owns our beers at his places, and we always try to tell people about his. So we're excited. We do beer dinners with him and beer and wine versus pairing dinners. And he's a great chef also in his own right, in addition to being a great restaurateur. And then obviously you remember, you know, his family with Wally's. They started Wally's pubs and everything back
then. Yeah, family legacy there. And he did the food for our first attempt at a food festival. So yeah, we like Chris a lot. Well, we've covered a lot here, Chip. Thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I didn't talk too much.
But that's good. I mean, you know, interesting stuff to say. And you broke a couple stories for us. And I feel like the end of a Howard Stern show, you know, right now. You said it all, Chip.
I said it all. Well, you guys, thanks so much for having me. Everything that y'all doing at Phoenix Magazine is just, you know, it means, I just want to say and I know I speak for a lot of people out there, you know, getting a write-up, whether it's just a little blurb or something to mention on an Instagram post, the fact that you guys just take an active role in giving a voice to independent local restaurants and local breweries is just, it's a huge deal. You know, the summer issue, we look forward to it, you know, whether we're in it or we're not. My friends are in it. Everybody loves it. You know, I love Chef Lee, him doing the beer one with the Hazies this year. Last year, we had one with the other guys and we were in that one. So it's just great to have a community-based, you know, big magazine that is prestigious, but still connects with all of us. So I just want to say on behalf of all the little people out there, thank you.
Thank you.
If you have any more praise you'd like to heap on us, I mean,
there you go. We'll just keep going.
Well, thank you for coming. And again, Restaurant Week's happening this week, and Huss sounds like it has a really nice one with the rouladen and the beer. Yummy, yummy. Yep. So thanks, Chip, again, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much, y'all. Appreciate it.